This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. Good to see you again. The day started dark, and yet there was something interesting about the light that you could see, even though it was dark. And I realized that the valley was full of white. The weather had arrived overnight. Frost had developed. It wasn't actually snow, it was frost. Frost throughout the whole valley was really white, like a snow covering, but actually it was frost. Amazing. So I thought this would make a really good photograph. It was a bit dark still. It's a bit early. The sun hadn't shown any sign of really appearing yet, but it was, it had promise. I had a quick look out through the window that I can see down towards the stable, and the alpacas, they were all down sensibly in the stable, all tucked away. And then it started to warm slightly. And it started to snow, because that's what happens when you have cold air and it starts to warm. You often get that thing that happens when snow starts to fall. And she did. It was all in the air. And then it started to lie a bit, but it was lying on frost and cold ground. So it was a bit of a challenge going down, getting down there, working out how many layers I needed, getting down and sorting out the food for the alpacas. This is what happens when it's snowy. I'm sorry, we complain about the weather all the time here in the UK. This is what we do. It's our national pastime to complain about the weather. Whatever it's doing, it's not quite right. And whatever it's doing, we're not quite prepared for it. So today's surprise of the whiteness was a surprise. We had some warnings. There were some things in the weather forecast, but it seemed to be further north and further up and away from where we were. In fact, there was a weather warning, but we were right on the edge of it, so we weren't really expecting. Now, are we going to have a lot? Are we going to have a little? Are we going to have any? Well, we were having some, because it definitely was in the air, and it was starting to lie. So it got quite thick at one point, and then it eased off. So that was a good time. Now is a good time. Go feed the alpacas while we're in between things. The sky's dark in places. It was very dark. And you could see that we were going to have more of whatever was coming our way as the wind blew it in. So started feeding. Checked the troughs in the field where we would normally feed the girls outside. But frozen. Okay, this isn't going to work. So it's in the stable around the area there. That was going to be the place to feed them. There was a skin of ice on top of the water trough. It wasn't very thick. They could easily have broken it with just their nose just touching on the surface. It would have broken the ice. I nudged it enough so that it was broken. It wasn't going to prevent them from drinking. We got the food out and spread it around and got it into all the troughs. The girls were hungry this morning. Hermione in her red coat and Amelia in her red coat. I knew this kind of weather was coming. It was definitely going to be colder. And we'd had some rain, so I got the coats on ahead of the rain, which was what we had before we had the cold. So hopefully they were in slightly better condition. The others, well, they're a bit damp. They looked a bit less comfortable than normal, but they were okay. So we got the food out. And at one point I was busy sorting out food to put out immediately, but also sorting out the food to set for soaking for this evening. And Megan came rushing in. She came right into the tack room where I was putting the food out. And breathlessly she was saying, Amelia said I could have her food. She was looking for Amelia's bucket. And it was almost like she was coming in and telling me a story. That Amelia said, it's okay, I can have it. Megan's an interesting character. So she had some food. I did give her a little bit outside. I didn't use Amelia's bucket, because Amelia's bucket is for Amelia. Yeah, but Amelia was busy. She was having her food and was quite heartily tucking in. It's very good having a coat on. We lost her a little bit the other day. Amelia was with the others, but she was kind of just standing there. She was doing her vacant standing thing that she does now and again. It's a little bit worrying. I don't really know what's going on, and not sure there's anything to do for it immediately, but to keep an eye on it, really. So she was standing around, but she stood in the same position for a long, long time. It's like she was kind of spaced out or zoned out or a bit adrift. I think it's part of her getting old. So the other day when she was out like that, right down the valley in the middle of the lake, I went down and disturbed her, and she rushed on to join the others. So she kind of woke up and she was back, and then she was grazing, and then she came back as the others came back for feeding later in the afternoon. So, yeah. So now she has a coat on. I think she seems to be slightly more present, which is interesting. There is this thing you can do, camelid dynamics, the handling techniques, which I learned. There's one way you can use a stretchy bandage, which is for helping them be present. So it's one of those things where if you've got animals that just sit down and opt out, you can help them be more present when you're doing the handling with them. It's like a body wrap. You put it around the front, the bottom of the neck, around the body, and then around the main body and up over and around the rump. So it's like a little twist in it. And it just sits on the body, and it just gives them a little hug and gives them a sense of a presence in their body. And it just helps them to be present in the moment when you're doing the handling. So it helps them with not opting out. And I just found with the coat on for Amelia that seems to be helping her feel more present, which is good. I'm assuming that's what's going on. Anyway, she's been happy enough. She's been enjoying her food. She's been enjoying being out grazing. And she's been enjoying, I think, enjoying not getting wet and being as cold. Yeah, as they get old, the fleece doesn't grow as much, and it's more of a challenge. This weather, particularly as it comes in really cold, particularly after wet, it's a challenge. It requires a lot of energy to be burnt just to stay normal body temperature. And whatever happens with their feet, I don't know, because with the mud and the wet and the things, how do you keep your toes warm? I that would bother me. I like having my feet comfy. So I've got my alpaca socks on inside my boots. And I use them all year, but I particularly like them in the winter. But the alpacas seem to somehow manage. Not that they can do much about it, I know. So we, in our house, in the warm, the doors and the windows are closed, the curtains, we draw the curtains early. And we have the heating on, and I try not to feel too guilty about being indoors when the alpacas are outside. They don't mind, mostly, I think. There's not many that would prefer to be indoors. I think there are a few that would quite like to come join us in the house. I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. That's not a good idea. These are field animals. They're used to being outside. They prefer to be outside. And if they don't, there's probably something not quite right about the relationship and the boundaries that they are working to. The other creatures who have cold feet are the swans. The swans are on the lake and they're paddling around and doing the thing and going after the weed and all that kind of stuff. But their feet are in this freezing cold water. I think it's cold at the best of times, but today was particularly cold. And yet, So maybe there's something clever, something magical almost, that's happening with their circulation of the legs and the feet. And it must be all of the water birds. It must be all of the waterfowl, so the ducks and the moorhens, the little grebes, and all the others that come and go. So, yeah. Don't know what they do. Don't know how they cope with having cold feet, but they do. It's what it is, how they manage. For the alpacas, we need to think about their food and their water. The food needs to be enough of the right kind of food and easy to digest, ideally. And some of the chopped alfalfa that we use, which has got a bit of a molasses on it, means that they get a bit of energy quickly, which is good for keeping warm. And they'll burn it off quickly. If they're not getting enough quick energy food, they're going to have to use their reserves. So we don't want to do that much of burning reserves this early in the year, in the winter. So we make sure they have enough to keep warm, the quick access to energy food. And also the general food. They still need the fiber and they need the other bits and pieces. So the food is important. And the water. The water can get frozen. So there's a tiny little skin on the top of the girls' water trough. The boys, it was a bit thicker. And tomorrow, the second cold day, is going to be probably thicker again. It's going to need more breaking to open it up. With the trugs, we use these kind of buckets, large plastic buckets. And you can just flex them slightly and then lift out the whole sheet of ice that's on the top of them. It doesn't work for some of the more rigid ones. We've got a rigid water trough as well. But the ones that flex, they're quite useful to be able to scoop off the skin of ice that's on there. Sometimes it gets quite thick and it's not going to break off so easily. But that's important to make sure that they have enough access to water. The grazing, the grass, if it's covered in snow, they're not seeing it as much. They're not getting access to as much. And they're not going to get the moisture they would get from grass. So make sure that they've got adequate supplies of water. We're doing that anyway, but particularly when the weather is cold like it is here in the UK at the moment. We've got a few days of this, and then it switches. And over the weekend, we get some... there's a front building. Hasn't appeared yet, but it will be. And it'll be blowing in, and it'll be very wet and very windy. And we're going to have a lot of rain. So, but the temperature is going to go up about 10, 12, maybe even 14 degrees warmer than it is at the moment. A bit unreal. So it's kind of really cold really quickly. And then it's going to switch back to being quite warm again and then dip down again. Well, that's the kind of season we're in. So slightly below seasonal average, whatever that used to be. I don't know whether we can rely on averages anymore in quite the way that we used to. So there's going to be some more cold weather to come, which is good for us to know in terms of getting our layers on, making sure we're equipped. We've got the waterproofs and the hat and the gloves that are going to keep your hands warm. Working in water, particularly, if you can empty ice out and that kind of thing, it's going to make sure that you can dry your hands and get them into to warm gloves again as soon as possible, because you can end up with some real wind chill on wet skin on your hands. It's not pleasant. You just need to avoid the unpleasantness. It's not going to do any serious damage, but it's not very pleasant. When we had some heavy snow one year, there's a number of years back now, I hadn't had the alpacas all that. We didn't have snow very often, but this was a heavy downfall of snow. It came down and we knew it was kind of blizzarding. It was going to be in the morning. So I went down and I closed them in and fed them indoors completely. We had smaller numbers. It was easy to do. But we also then locked them in. We had closed the window shutters and closed the door shutters as well, top and bottom. That wasn't very well received. They didn't really like being locked in, but it snowed and snowed and snowed. It was blizzard conditions. It wasn't, they could have been out, but it wasn't really what I wanted. And they should have known better, but they might not have done. So kept them in. And then the weather stopped. The sun came out a bit more. It was bright. We had this snow there then. The alpacas had not seen snow. It was really, really hilarious letting them out into this deep snow. And what is this? They were so excited. They cavorted. They literally did cavort. There was cavorting going on. And I've got a video clip which shows the interaction of the alpacas with each other, but also with the snow. And I'll put that on the website. So alpacatribe.com and look for the latest episode. You'll find the video clip on there. Absolutely amazing. I really enjoyed that. And I quite enjoy it. It just makes me smile every time I see the video clip. Hope you enjoy that. So alpacatribe.com. And yeah, they did sort of snow angels alpaca style, and they ran around and they played and they. I didn't see them make any snowballs, but they would have done if they could. But Hermione was really funny because she was a lot younger then. And she did the sitting down and then lying down with the, but she put her neck, extended her neck onto the snow, the whole of her body on the snow, on the cold. It was must have been really like having a cold shower. And that was quite something. And yeah, so she then, having laid down like that, she did a vertical takeoff, as you'll see in the video. Absolutely hilarious. So, but they ran around, chased each other and did sort of neck wrestling and various things in the snow. And did these snow alpaca angels. Yeah. We've had some other times. There was another time at night when it was snowing. I hesitated and then checked about 10 o'clock. Thought, oh, I better just check and see what this weather is doing. And it was heavier snow than I'd anticipated. And again, blizzarding and it was heading. And I thought, I'm going to bring them in. There were some youngsters in the herd at the time. And so I was going to bring them in. And that's when I discovered one of the youngsters had actually quite seriously injured themselves. It was they were limping really badly, not weight-bearing at all on that leg. I'm not quite sure whether they'd slipped or knocked or banged or tripped or who knows. It didn't last too long, but it was quite serious at the time. Anyway, I decided I was going to bring them down because of the weather, discovered this problem. And I thought that was my problem that I was dealing with, this limping alpaca. And then we got them down into the stable. The lights were on. And once I got down there, I realized there was this red balloon and there was poor old Alice with a rectal prolapse. Oh, dear. So it was just as well that I'd found her and just as well that I was able to bring them in. So we had to then call the vet out to deal with this. I tried briefly myself, couldn't achieve the desired results. And so we called for the vet and they brought the BBC film crew. The BBC, yes, the BBC. They were following the vets around that particular week. And so on the call out, so it was like midnight, we've got this film crew, me and the vet trying to sort this problem. I'm trying to hold poor old Alice, trying to hold her still, and the vet's trying to put things back. We got there in the end. We did. And Alice did survive and did really well, and she's still doing really well, actually. She's doing okay. One of my favourites. One of my many favourites. I know. How many alpacas have I got? Well, I've got that many favourites. But sometimes, yeah, sometimes you have a favourite. And you try not to let it influence things too much. But yeah, no, I love them all. But there are some that are really special. Alice is a really special one. And of course, Hermione, you know already that Hermione is a really special one. And many of the others as well. You develop relationships with them over time, seeing them twice a day, day after day after day. But also the experiences you go through, like the storm, like the problem with the prolapse, then you develop a particular kind of relationship and trust. And the same with Amelia and in the past. And now, giving a favouring of with the food. She knows. She knows. She knows her name. She'll come over and she'll find her way, pick her way through the crowd to get to where the bucket is. Still on her terms, though. You can't get overly familiar. She doesn't mind the odd little touch and the scratch on her neck, but yeah, it's still on her terms. So it's not the kind of the weather for sitting out in the field, but if you can, do spend some time with your alpacas. Check on them, see how they're doing, make sure they got water, make sure they got the right kind of food, and that you haven't got any that are getting into difficulties given the weather. And breathe. Take care. See you again soon. This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.